The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare called Your Best Healthcare Now. It's available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines, which means he knows about money and he knows about politics. And I hear he's just gotten even busier because he is also the senior advisor at healthcare.com. I'm going to say good morning, Frank. How are you? Or hello, Frank. How are you? But then first I'm going to ask you, are you still getting a ton of questions to healthcare.com?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Very busy. And, you know, that site, they really concentrate on delivering the best information possible on health insurance. And they're branching out into Medicare. And yeah. And it's good information. So, yeah. And it's keeping me awfully busy. But I always make time for you, Jill, because I am the healthcare detective for Robin Hood Radio. So
we need ding 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 ding, ding detective music, I believe. But Marshall will not. He refuses to cooperate.
So look, this is going to be a reality check broadcast because there's so much swirling around about COVID-19. A lot of it is false hope. A lot of it is downright falsehoods. We got to sort it out. So I want to cover a number of topics. We'll do it kind of quickly, but I'll cover a number of topics. Sweden, nursing homes, slaughterhouses, miracle drugs you hear about every day, and a lot more. But I'm going to start locally. I'm going to start with Knucklehead Alley. That's now what I'm calling the militant rail trail that I use virtually every day. Roughly two-thirds of the people on that trail are not wearing masks or gloves, okay? And they travel in packs, too many of them. Families, four, five, six people. Pals all together in a little cluster. And here's the worst part. They stop on the trail to talk. They miss each other, so they chat. So anybody coming along the trail, it's narrow. It's only about eight feet wide. You're walking along that trail. You have to get way close to those people to get past them. So I've got a message for my friends on the trail. Cover up, please. Not wearing a mask is knucklehead behavior that endangers you and others. So my message to our pals on the trail.
All right. So just while you're talking about masks, because there is mask confusion. And just, you definitely need to, if you're wearing a mask or a face covering, you need to cover your nose and your mouth. And I'm sorry if your glasses fog up, but that's, I've seen a spate of chin masks and, or mouth masks.
And the whole idea is to cover, it's preventing you to spread germs to others. Okay.
Right.
But look, the studies have now come in and it works. So if everybody covers up, it's safer and everybody should cover up. But I also want to talk about opening up. So that more than 30 states are about to open up, and that includes Connecticut in the middle of May. So let's turn to Sweden as a little test case. That's where health officials just made a policy, okay, that made being a knucklehead okay. You can be in Sweden, you can be a knucklehead, we approve. So you asked me to look into this, Jill, and keep my eye on it. So here's the reality going on there. Now, health officials make the rules, not a politician. So you can't blame the politicians for this one. The health officials locked down the nursing homes and the upper schools. But they left just about the rest of society open. Elementary schools, bars, restaurants, a lot of businesses. They also said to the people, okay, now we want voluntary now, but we want you to be really careful. Don't gather in groups of more than 50 little herds of people. That's okay. Fine with us. And this week, they announced that their openness policy is a big success. Ray, big success. Okay, here's the reality. Sweden's COVID death rate is 22 people per 100,000. 22. That's compared to 7 per 100,000 in Denmark and under 4 in Norway and Finland, right next door. Sweden's reality, the actual reality, forced the foreign minister to say, and this is a direct quote, Jill, I'm not making this up. Foreign minister said, the high death rates were not part of the plan. Guess what?
Sorry? I'm sorry.
Guess what?
Wait, you just got my attention. Remember you had me at hello? Okay. Yeah. Give me that again, please.
The high death rates were not part of the plan. Well, if you open
what did
up
he
society
think was going to
like
happen?
That, it, those death rates are going to be inevitable. Okay, and so this is a point I'm making right now, because the death rate in the United States is 12 for 100,000, and it's rising, and we're just about to open up more than 30 states. So our number is going to go up into that Sweden territory. And then somebody in the administration is going to stand up and say, these high deaths weren't part of the plan. We were just trying to open up society. Okay. Sad to say it. Now something else came out of Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Jill.
No, because I'm very curious about Sweden, so I'm looking for the detective work on that. But I'm also Austria and Germany have started quiet, you know, quiet opens in the last couple of weeks, and I was wondering if there was any feedback on that. But let's go to Sweden.
Let's stay with Sweden. Well, Sweden makes another point, and this is kind of a universal truth about the COVID-19 pandemic. It kills elderly. I mean, there's no question about it, in much higher numbers, and maybe higher numbers than we've even realized. So Governor Lamont this week confirmed, I mean, this is like Sweden, that over 50% of Connecticut's deaths have been in nursing homes. Over 50, it's about 56% in Connecticut. And in Massachusetts, and this really opened my eyes, apparently 95% of the COVID hospital deaths are among people over 60, 95%. Now, they're talking in Massachusetts, they're talking about opening up and not allowing anybody over 60 to go back to work. So we got to keep our eye on that. But there's no question that COVID kills the elderly. But we got to turn to this, Jill. We got to move from nursing homes to slaughterhouses, because that needs discussion. In a week where the president said ingesting Lysol... Oh, please, might wipe out the virus, okay? He trumped that stupidity with cruel ignorance. I think this is the single worst thing this president has done. He effectively ordered the nation's slaughterhouses to stay open despite unsafe crowding that has sparked deadly COVID outbreaks in a number of plants, causing 24 to shut down. He wants those open. He wants those pork chops and chickens and beefsteaks to keep flowing, okay? But here's the reality. No one should be forced to choose between going to work or potentially catching a deadly virus and bringing that contagious killer back into your own home, back into your family. But that's what's happening right now in the richest country in the world, exactly what's happening. The Republican governor in Iowa says he'll take away unemployment checks for anyone who refuses to go back to work in these plants, okay? Though everyone knows, everyone has just been reminded why they're called slaughterhouses. The bosses know. They demanded from Trump indemnity from COVID lawsuits, and they got it. So the workers must go back to work. And their families can't sue if the worker gets sick. If the worst happens, the worker gets sick, the worker dies, the worker brings it back into the family, other members will die. And it was because of unsafe crowding in these slaughterhouses that the bosses could have eliminated. And guess what? You can't file a lawsuit. Thank you, President Trump. Here's another reality in split-screen America. As the virus also drives away farm workers, food rots in the fields, milk is poured down the drain, you see it on TV every night, while on the split screen, the unemployed are lining up for miles and depleting the nation's food pantries because they don't have anything to eat. So here's an idea. Instead of bailing out billion-dollar slaughterhouse owners, Trump should be organizing a Berlin airlift, getting our idled airlines to fly food from the farms to the food pantries, feeding our 20 million unemployed. It's an idea. And while I dream about Trump giving a damn about workers, let's face the reality about the administration's latest miracle cure. They've had a lot of these drugs that Trump keeps saying, this is it with the breakthrough. This is a game changer. This is okay. So they got another one. And I'm not talking about Lysol. I mean, everybody but an idiot knows you don't drink that. I'm talking about remdesivir. The FDA is rushing that. They're rushing to okay that after a clinical trial of 1,000 hospitalized COVID patients. And here's the reality on that drug. Look, the drug, it's far from a cure. All it did against a placebo was reduce the average patient's time in the hospital from 15 days to 11. And it reduced the deaths from 11 to 8. I mean, it's fine. It's a step in the right direction, but it's hardly a cure. And then Dr. Fauci, who is a hero in this story, for the most part, he steps up and says, well, you know, this is a real step forward because it shows that the virus will react to a drug. Hello, we know that. Why do we get flu shots every fall? We know that a virus reacts to the right drug. Okay, this one is a mild improvement over nothing. I get upset. There seems to be a miracle drug every week, and you take a closer look, and they're not miracles at all. So that's my. That's a quick trip around the world here, and I hope I've addressed a lot of the falsehoods and false hopes. Meanwhile, Carol and I are doing the best we can to be as careful as we can up here. How are you doing, Jill?
Well.
Well, good.
Yeah, and you just I am personally dividing into, I know a lot of people who are just not comfortable coming out, and I know a lot of people who do want to get back to work and are willing to be careful and conscientious. So I am hoping that this doesn't become, a social media engendered, each side's, rot, and more like if you are not comfortable, and you have organized your life so that you can stay in, please stay in.
Right. And I would say this is a challenge to the bosses. You want to open up, and you got to show to the public and to the health officials that your place is safe to work. Okay, so if you need to put up a lot of plexiglass, if you need to have taking temperatures at the door, if you need everyone in the establishment to wear a mask, if you need them separated by 6 feet or 8 feet in every circumstance, that's exactly what you do. So. It's different.
You figure it out.
Yeah, you see it being done well. I think places like LeBlanc's and Guido's and do it well. They've reacted very well. A restaurant, I think, is a much bigger challenge. So much more of that has to be takeout. Carol has discovered. I'm sure not the first person. This Whippoorwill Farm
right.
on Salmon Kill Road.
The Cockerlands.
You can call ahead. And get all the pork chops and chicken, whatever you want. Call ahead and the order is waiting for you on the bench. It's completely safe, and the people there are not interacting closely with you, so they're relatively safe. Carla does a lot of streaming recipe demos for YouTube for Bon Appetit. They've given her a remote camera. She doesn't have a cameraman there, a voice guy anymore. She has two cameras in her kitchen, and she listens in her ear to the producer, and she plays to one camera while she does something, and then they stop, and she plays to the other camera. She was on Good Morning America in mid-March, and she got the first clue that something was not quite right. So she goes on Good Morning America in mid-March, not realizing that this COVID stuff was floating around already, and she's doing a demo with Michael Strahan. So you know how those work. There's a long table, and you start with the one ingredient, and you move to the second, and you're moving down the table. So she starts with Strahan, and she moves to the second step, and he stays where he is. She moves to the third step, and he stays where he is. By the time she finished, she's at one end of the table, and he's at the other.
Yeah, that's going to be a great book. It's going to be called "What Was Your First Clue?" But that's when there's some humor. And then the other thing, I just in your last 20 seconds, I'm going to say something. I'm sorry. you know, I am certain that you grew up at a time when you figured stuff out, you know, and that your parents just insisted that you figure it out. Mm-hmm. And what I have noticed, and I'm saying that I did too, but what I'm noticing is that it just seems like people are much more comfortable complaining instead of figuring it out. And I would just love to see what used to be called old-fashioned American ingenuity. You know, well, I'm sorry if that's politically incorrect.
The catchphrase in our house was, use your head.
Yeah.
That was the catchphrase. I mean, if you did it wrong and you whatever, and you took the car and wrapped it around a pole and stuff, nonsense. Like, I mean, it was, my dad's phrase was, you know, use your head.
Yeah.
Use your head. That's partly where I got knucklehead from, by the way, because if you didn't use your head, then he called you a knucklehead. And he was right to do it if you didn't use your head. So, look, this is dangerous stuff, especially if you're over 60, if those Massachusetts numbers can be believed. But even under that, I mean, we do see cases of young people dying and dying in a week. So this is nothing to be sneezed at or sneezed on.
Or coughed at.
So knuckleheads on the trail, I'm sorry. I mean, I love you very much, and I like seeing you every day and saying hi. Put those masks on, please. And people and owners of establishments, you want to open up and bring money in? I understand that completely. And you've got workers who are depending on you. You have an obligation to them to keep them safe. And if you cannot keep them safe or your customers safe, you should not open, and the police should come by and close you up. Okay? This is a two-way street.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and as I always say, right here on my desk.